Monday, November 15, 2021, Dakota County Board of Commissioners meeting at 3 o'clock, Dakota County Board of Equalization at 3:30 p.m.
Is it going? We'll do a roll call first.
Janet Gill.
Here.
Scott Love.
Yes.
Robert Deasy.
Here.
Larry Albanicious is absent.
Absent.
Troy Lonsby.
Here.
I can make a motion to excuse Larry. He did touch base with me on the situation, so.
Second.
Okay. Do we do a roll on that, or do I? Okay.
Scott?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes. Current copy of the Open Meetings Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the county board meeting room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. We are going to reshuffle the agenda just a little bit. I believe Sarah has a personal appointment she has to get to at 3:30. So we are going to pull item, I guess it's item 4B from Miscellaneous and Old Business. Sarah Deck, Juvenile Service Coordinator, requesting board approval to sign documents required in a grant application for community-based juvenile services aid. Available, let's see, this grant goes from 7/1/22 to June of 23. And can you update us on that and the amount? Because there's some confusion about
yes.
it, too.
Yes, okay.
Perfect.
So
thanks,
the amount that we are requesting is a little less than what our formula grant allows us to request. So our formula allows us to request $84,265. We are requesting $82,773. The reason being is we deobligated our last grant year about $15,000. We've utilized significantly less with our alternatives to detention, which... Mm-hmm. is not necessarily a bad thing.
That's
just
a good thing.
Yeah, it's a good thing. Yeah. Deobligations can impact our future grant allotments, and so we want to make sure that we are being fiscally responsible and we're only requesting what it is that we need. And so we've adjusted down with regard to our alternatives to detention in those budget areas. As of October, the end of October, we had utilized about 17% of our grant funds. And since we're already done with the first quarter of the grant, it would be better if we were closer to 25%. But we're not bad. We're not too far off. So, and with, you know, that doesn't count November's payroll or claims.
Okay. So your amount that you're asking for, I think the agenda says $84,265, but we should change that to?
$82,773.
Okay. $82,773.
Yep.
And that will be sufficient to meet your
yep,
claims.
Yep, that'll be sufficient to meet our claims, yep. And the things that we're requesting to fund through this grant is very, very similar. Alternatives to detention, including electronic monitoring and community youth coaching, family support, juvenile diversion, and then the one thing that is new is a victim youth conferencing, which is a restorative justice practice that we utilize the Nebraska Mediation Center out of Fremont. We're in their service area. It's okay. Kind of broke out by the state, so.
Okay. Any other questions for Sarah regarding the grant and what they're doing with it and or the amounts or?
Keep saving souls.
That will do.
So this is from July through June 30th, so I guess I'm confused why we're coming now.
Because they, so our grant application is not due until December 15th, but I am having a baby November 29th, so I won't be here.
Okay, so the due date is coming up.
Yeah, so we're just early this year.
Okay, for the grant.
Yep, for the grant. So we actually are submitting about a month earlier.
What's going on in this courthouse? Everybody's having babies.
I don't know.
Must be the water.
It must be.
Well, good luck to you,
yes, thank
Sarah.
You.
That sounds exciting.
Did you guys learn anything after the first couple, two or three?
Well,
Jesus.
You know.
I'm teasing you. Congratulations.
Thank you, Scott.
All right, listen, so moved on the dollar amount that she's asking for, the $82,773 for the chair to sign for the request for her to sign all the documents.
I'll second that. Any other questions for Sarah or comments from the board? Okay, we'll do the roll call.
Robert?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thank
good
you
luck.
Much.
Good
I
luck on two accounts.
Hey, Sarah, I'm going to tell you real quick. Yes. You increase the kids, and mm-hmm. it increases the odds of maybe someday one of them wiping your rear for you.
Like being rich and taking care of
me. Whatever. Yeah. Whatever. However you want to look at it. Okay. Congratulations.
That
good luck.
Isn't that visual? All right. Now we'll move to the item one on the agenda, which is public comment. And at this point, the Dakota County Board of Commissioners will hear comments from anyone that is present about any item that is not on the agenda. And we have the discretion to limit the time on comments, and I think we'll typically limit that to about 3 minutes. So if anybody has any comments on items not on the agenda, feel free to come forward, and we will hear your concerns.
Mr. Bill McLarty, come on down.
Come on down.
Come on down.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you, Bill.
I first will introduce myself. My name is William McLarty, McLarty. I live at 1561 142nd Street in Dakota, just outside of Dakota City.
Okay.
I want to talk to you a little bit about the jail situation.
Okay.
First of all, I want to clarify the fact that the Sheriff Kleinberg is my son-in-law. Okay. But what I have to say today has nothing to do with him or his office except the jail.
Okay.
The jail, in my understanding, is the federal government entered into an agreement with Dakota County to build a jail. And to build that jail, they allocated funds to be set aside on an amount of money to be paid each month. That amount of money will, over a period of time, cover the building and cost of the jail. I think that's an excellent deal. It's never been done before, to my understanding. It's the first time. And there are other counties around, Woodbury County included, that wants to do that same thing. They would like to take it away from Dakota County and take it over themselves. But we have the advantage. The big advantage of that is that while we're building it, we're getting money for prisoners being put in there to help pay for it, plus an undisclosed amount of money with the number of prisoners who will be in the jail. I think it's 100, but I don't know. But we get that amount of money and build it up and pay our bills. When we get through with it, we have a contract with the government to pay us for 100 prisoners. Whether we have 100 or not, we still get that income. The amount of money that we would receive from, my understanding, the amount of money that we would get from the federal government will cover the cost of the jail and will help to provide money to the Board of Commissioners to be used elsewhere at their discretion. That's after they've paid the bills, of course. To me, it's a win-win situation. And the longer we wait to take it up and approve it and get into it and turn it over to the sheriff and a contract manager. The contract manager is an essential part of it. I can't emphasize that too much. With that, he or that company will look on the other people who are contracted to build the jail. He will ensure that it is being done. It was not done the last time we had the jail, and things happened in there that didn't get corrected. They cut the cost, they cut doing things to build the income for their benefit, not for ours. So for the protection of Dakota County, I think it's important that we have that individual or that company checking to make sure that the jail is built the way it's designed to build. As I understand it, the Jail Correction Board, which I once served on, has approved it. They're 100% behind it. They cannot see any reason for us not to accept it. And so I just wanted to emphasize to this group the importance of moving forward with this. It will not only take care of our prisoner housing, but it will take care of the future. And that future is coming. Another thing, and it's a sidelight to that, we have sheriff's deputies, we have jailers, and that's a cost. We have not been able to pay a regional salary to those individuals. If they don't get a reasonable salary, then when they finish the jail in Woodbury County, we're going to lose prisoners, or not prisoners, jailers. We won't have any jailers. We won't be able to take prisoners. So we'll have to hire it out to someplace else, and that costs us more money. It's a loser. The best thing we can do is go on with the jail, get it built, and be happy about it in the future. Do you have any questions you'd like to ask me?
I would, Bill, I do have a question for you, Doc. Correct me if I'm wrong, but when the original phase one jail, you were commissioner at the time, correct?
I was.
Okay. And that money obviously came from sales tax. That was voted in from a bond from the city taking a half a cent and the county taking a half a cent to pay for the jail.
That's correct.
And if I do recall, and somebody might have to correct me on this, but it was it supposed to be paid over a 7 or 8 year period, and it was paid for
10, and
it was
paid
10?
In 7.
Okay, yeah, it was a 10 year bond, and it was paid for in 7 years.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I thought you were a part of it because that was right a few years back after my first term.
You're only by association.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions you have?
I know. I appreciate your comments, Bill. It gives, you know, gives us some perspective. I appreciate it.
I think it's important to get the jail built, mm-hmm. and get the addition to it. It's going to be a win-win for us down the road after it's built, because we'll be getting money from the federal government to offset the cost, plus additional money for what we need to do with the county. We can add roads. We can improve our roads construction or whatever I want to say, maintenance. So I think it's a win-win for us. I don't, and to let it go any longer, we're going to lose that, and somebody else is going to pick it up, and they're going to make the money on it, not us.
Thank you for your perspective.
All right. Thank you very much for
hearing me. Thank you for your comments today. Appreciate it. Any other folks here for public comment on an item not on the agenda?
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Mike Robinette.
Mike Robinette. Yep. Okay. Thank
you. The address is 1356 Elgin Avenue.
Okay.
Vice President of H&R Construction here in town. I wanted to talk about the jail real quick, too.
Okay.
Not in the same manner that Mr. McCarty was, but I was kind of surprised to see that this had come up to hire a construction manager on this project the last couple times, and we hadn't seen any requests for proposals put out on that. So it got me to look into the type of contract that was being proposed, and it looks like the architect had proposed construction manager as advisor on this, and it kind of raised a red flag. I'm not sure that construction manager as advisor is actually legal in Nebraska to do in this scenario, so I wanted to come before you guys today and recommend that if something does come back up on this and it's not a moot point, that you explore that pretty carefully before moving forward. Now, it's important to understand there's two types of construction manager contracts, construction manager as advisor and construction manager at risk. And I believe construction manager at risk is something that, you know, would be feasible for you to do. And it is a good, you know, a good method to do this in. And I'm not here to say anything about the companies that have been here, because they're both good companies, but my understanding is you might be going down the road with CMA's advisor that, you know, could get the board and county into problems, and I don't want to see that happen.
Can you explain real quick, Mike, the difference between the advisor and the at-risk? The at-risk is, correct me if I'm wrong, is it more of
at-risk scenario? They're both going to do similar things to you or for you during pre-construction. You know, you're going to get budgeting, better cost estimates than an architect's going to be able to put together as things move along based on how they develop plans, schedule input, material lead time, you know, things like that. They're going to help you as a board and everybody make better decisions going forward. And that is a benefit. Where the two start differing is when you get into the construction phase. CM as advisor versus CM at risk. As advisor, and it has to do with who's holding the contracts with all the subcontractors on site and who holds the risk. So as advisor, the county ends up holding every subcontract on the project, essentially. Technically, the CM could go hire a general contractor to oversee the whole thing. Rarely have I ever seen it done that way. Normally, they're going to be on site acting, in a sense, as your general contractor, just without holding contracts with those subs. CM at risk kind of functions like a normal, you're used to architect develops a set of plans, or an engineer, you go bid the job, hire the contractor, and the thing gets built. CM at risk kind of acts like that after that pre-construction phase is over. The construction manager is going to go ahead and hold those subcontracts with everybody on the job. They're going to give you a guaranteed maximum price and be at risk if there's cost overruns.
So on a project like this, Mike, a construction manager is, we need one. I mean, you couldn't do a project.
With the
like
way that you've got this contract set up with the architect right now, you need one, before you can do much else.
Well, how would you? Because the architect, the only thing they do is design, mm-hmm. correct?
Yeah.
So how do we get to the next step? How do you get it built?
At this, you'd have to change contract types with the architect, or you need to proceed under a construction management arrangement. Now, like I said before, though, there's two different kinds of construction management arrangements.
Which one's legal? I mean, one of them uses.
From everything I've read and all the experiences that I've had, CM at risk, I know, is the way that you can go in Nebraska.
It's okay with
that. It all started back in the early 2000s with schools. But I think it's kind of morphed since then to let other public agencies utilize that contract method. But I think the main reason that they allow that versus that, as advisor is the risk factor.
So, do you your projects you do? Do you have a construction manager, or do you do
The construction manager is a term.
Right.
The reason that they're calling a construction manager is the type of contract that you're using to get the project delivered. The company that was in here before, I think, acts as a general contractor at times, acts as a construction manager at times. It depends on what contract format is set up for that project to move forward. So at times, my company acts as a construction manager.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Okay. What kind of...
It's more of a function of the actual contract that you're using to get the work done.
And it's normally bid out, is that what you're saying? Is that typically the...
Well, you got different ways of getting a project. Normally, if you hire the architect or engineer as the county, they're working directly for you with a contract. They send, they advertise for bids, take hard bids. You guys sit here and open them, accept the lowest responsible bid, and that's your contractor for the job.
I see.
The construction management allows, as the design process is happening, smarter decisions to be made. Mm-hmm. And it's not a bad way to go, especially at risk. As advisor can kind of become cumbersome in my experience, even as the project progresses, because you've got a construction manager sitting out here trying to manage 30 subcontractors that you don't have a contract with. Doesn't work very well.
Well, then, if I'm guessing, then if there's a hold up on price, then it has to come back here.
Yeah.
As an advisor, but at risk, you pretty much have your price set.
Right. Right. Yeah. So as an advisor, if you got an issue on a job site with a sub and they want $500 more and they're not doing XYZ until they can come get a change order. As a guy at risk sitting out there, I'm going, it's going to cost me three times that to sit here and wait till the next board meeting. Here's your $500. Go get it done. So it ends up slowing things down in that manner. But
very helpful.
So you would be a construction manager, like in this project, in this scenario. You could be a,
yeah.
That's what you do.
Yeah, we could. Usually when when you're doing construction manager at risk, my understanding in Nebraska is you need to put out requests for proposals for construction manager at risk, which is a list of questions, mm-hmm. blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And then what's your, you know, what's your fee structure look like? That's usually the proposal format for
request for proposal, kind of like a bid. Yeah.
Takes a few weeks. If it was something you guys were interested in changing to, or if the advisor, if I'm correct on the advisor and it's not the legal way to go, you can send that out and kind of be back to this point where you're at now, probably within a matter of weeks.
But in the scenario that we have, or is, so we have the architect and the construction manager, isn't it, just thinking about now, thinking it through, isn't that kind of, maybe it's not odd, that the architect hires a construction manager or recommends?
They don't hire construction managers.
Or recommends a construction manager?
That's kind of what was a little strange to me, yeah. If it was a private project, it wouldn't surprise me at all, but with it being public, that's what kind of got me interested in seeing what kind of contract format they had proposed to you.
It's like gambling in Vegas. They made the rules.
Well, I mean, these are the rules.
Here's the rules.
Yeah.
Well, it's good to know.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's good to know just because the fact that if we would have went that way, and how would we know any difference?
If you didn't live in that world every day, you
right, exactly. We wouldn't know. Yeah. But kind of like as Troy said, you know, during this time, there's a lot of blue sky. And if with the money, you don't know where you were at as far as being an advisor, being a CM advisor. Then at risk is, it would be the way to go, because then you pretty much know where you're going to be.
Somebody else is taking that risk. Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks, Mike. Very informative. Appreciate your time and explanation on how it works. So
correct me if I'm wrong, and maybe Kim can ask this, but so we need to put this out for, if this does come back up, okay, for whatever reason, it needs to go, it's not really so much for bid, but it just needs to be publicized that
request
for proposal.
Yeah, I think Nebraska has... I think it's the Alternative Project Delivery Act is what governs it. And that spells out kind of the requirements on what you need to do for construction manager. But it just defines at risk. It doesn't ever say anything about advisor. And I've never seen advisor done before. So I thought I should come say something then, in case the thing were to come back up. It's not. It doesn't end up in the end being much different for you. And it is a decent way to go, but it is a little different path. And I think at the end of the day, it would lead to, you know, a little overall smoother project if things do move forward.
Mm-hmm. So if this would come back up on the agenda, and I don't know if it will or but would your company be interested in putting a bid out for on this job?
I haven't put a ton of thought into that. I mean, it is something that we do. We got to look at the timing when it is and our, you know, available manpower. And if those things all fit, we do, you know, put proposals in on CM at risk. If it's advisor, we wouldn't be interested. We stay away from that just because of the headaches that we see down the road that happened during construction. So.
This ain't your first rodeo, is it?
No.
I like it, no.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, you've been through this process. Thank you. Your expertise
probably
is
not.
Your expertise right. is appreciated.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate you coming in and telling us.
Mike.
Appreciate it.
Any other public comment today on a topic that's not on the agenda? Okay. Do we want to do... Wait, we'll do a couple items before we do BOE, okay? All right. Let's jump to the consent agenda. Approval of the previous meeting minutes. Approval of payroll claims. I did review those, and with Cherie's help and Joan's help, there's a lot of interesting little things with the Veterans Day in there and holiday pay, but we got that all figured out. Looks pretty good. Approval of accounts payable, all the claims. Thank you, Scott, for helping with those. All the claims appear to be in order. Chasing down a few little receipts, but everything appeared to be in order. And approval of officials' reports, and all of those appear to be in order. So items A through D on that consent agenda.
So moved on the consent agenda items.
So I'll second that. Any questions about any of those items, minutes, payroll claims, accounts payable, or official reports? Okay, we'll take roll on that.
Troy?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
All right, so consent agenda items are approved, moved and approved. Moved, seconded, and approved. Okay, new business resolution 301. We're a little behind 301, but we have a public hearing for the purpose of giving citizens the opportunity to offer their support, opposition, or neutral comments regarding the abandonment of a platted alley in Block 3, Crystal Beach, between lots 1 to 9 on the north and lots 10 to 18 on the south, accepting a portion of Eagle Drive in Dakota City, Nebraska. S6T28N and R9E. Do we have anybody here that wants to offer their support for the abandonment of that area? Forward, please.
I'm Pat Eagle, 401 31st Street, South Sioux City, and I'm the one that brought that up. It's okay. An alley between, it separates my house from the garage. Next door, it runs right to a guy's, the neighbor's driveway and on, so there's nothing in that. So I just want to unite the properties.
Okay.
And then the advantage to you, you put all that property in that alley back onto the tax rolls, and that'll certainly help you with your budget.
Careful what you wish for.
And the neighbors will all have a new line to maintain to that center line, right?
Right. Okay. Yeah, everything. Yeah, they've all signed it, yeah.
Oh, they all know that they're going to have to mow a little farther now.
Pardon?
They all know they're going to have to mow a little farther now, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, we're doing it now.
Yeah, okay.
Because there's nothing there. It's grass and all it is. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Bill, for giving us kind of the layout. I think you were here earlier on another similar situation.
Yeah, right.
On
another deal, yeah.
Or Pat, I'm sorry, Pat.
Yeah.
Pat. Okay, so Pat is here to offer support and give you the background on it. Is anybody here on opposition or neutral about that?
Thank you.
About that abandonment of that alley. Anybody in opposition or neutral? Public comment? Hearing none. I think we have to hold off for another till the next meeting to actually officially act on this, Bill or Pat. We have to wait for another meeting, Pat. But I mean, your comments are appreciated today. That the neighbors are all in favor, apparently. So next meeting, which is early, let's see, 29th, we'll act on that officially.
Thanks,
Pat. And then to vacate that. All right, 302, we have another public hearing for the purpose of giving citizens the opportunity to offer support, opposition, or make neutral comment regarding a request for a conditional use permit to build a 120-foot monopole for the purpose of providing high-speed internet at a property located at 2229 M Avenue in Hubbard. Section 3, Township 27N, Range 7E, Dakota County. I think there's a photo in there of that, I believe.
I think it might help to read the zoning minutes.
Okay.
Where
all right.
The zoning board.
Thanks,
approved
Jolene.
It. Okay.
Appreciate it.
So there's two properties where this is going to potentially go up.
Mm-hmm.
A monopole is providing high-speed internet to rural areas with line-of-sight technologies where service is limited or there are gaps areas of coverage. NextLink explained to the board that a monopole is a freestanding pole with no guy wires. There is a cylinder with cement poured that goes about 10 to 15 feet down and about 10 to 12 feet above ground. Then the tower for the base, and then the tower slips over that and is crimped on and it secures that. It is approximately 3 feet wide at the base. The antennas are attached to the top of the 120-foot tower. Residents then can subscribe to their service. The company will lease a 20 by 20 area of land for from the landowner. In exchange, the landowner will get free service for the life of the lease. Netflix was awarded a grant. It's called Connect America Funds. And through that grant, the government gives them a census block in every county in several states where there's poor coverage. So then the next link has to provide a certain amount of coverage in those areas. Without this grant, Next Links could not afford to do this program. Since it's out in a rural area, the towers are only can reach about a 4 to 6 mile range, and out in rural areas there's not a lot of people out there. But and then with once you go out past that point, if somebody wanted to try and connect to this, they would not allow it because then the service would be so poor in the quality. So it's just basically, and by line of sight difference distance, the towers can go through trees but not hills, so they have to be able to see that to get the coverage. Joe checked everything out. The soil conditions and setbacks were good. Since the tower is under 150 feet, they do not need the FFA light. The power will run to it, and all the guidelines and regulations from the power company will be followed.
So this will help with coverage out in the rural areas. So it's an open internet. Very nice. Anybody here to offer support for that? I mean, Jolene obviously gave a good explanation of why it's good. Any opposition or neutral comments regarding the monopole on 2229 M Avenue? Have the neighbors all been made aware of this, Jolene, around that area?
Yeah.
Okay.
I believe so.
Okay. All right. So we'll go on to item C then. Oh, sorry. I forgot to close the other one too.
Yeah, you did.
Did you close it for me? Okay, close the hearing at 3:32. Okay.
Oh, and I'll say we didn't send out letters to the surrounding landowners because it was in the paper and I'm pretty sure.
There's nobody really close to it as far as
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, 150 foot in the air. It's not going to. But I'm pretty sure they talked with their neighbors and stuff.
Okay.
I think that was said in the meeting.
Okay.
It's not an intrusive.
It's not in somebody's backyard. Okay, board to approve or not approve the item C is where we're at right now. Board to approve or not approve the conditional use permit to build the 120-foot monopole for the purpose of providing high-speed internet at the property 2229 M Avenue in Hubbard, same address, Section 3, Township 27N, Range 74. Planning and Zoning has recommended approval of this request.
I'll make a motion to approve accordingly to the Planning and Zoning has recommended the approval of the request.
Thank you, Scott.
I'll second, but I have one question. So, Jolene, so the people that can use it are just within sight of it?
Yeah, within sight.
Only sight of it?
Yeah.
How far away?
About 4 to 6 miles is what it'll extend out to,
So did this landowner request it, or did Netflix pick this area?
I'm not 100% sure on this, but they are given areas in the counties where it, and I would almost assume Netlinx would have to have reached out to the landowners because they're given information from the government on where there's poor coverage areas. So then they go out and try and see where the best place to put these would be. So.
But it's not just Netflix. I mean, it's internet.
It's Netlinx.
Oh, so. Netflix. You said I want to be able to get something besides Netflix. If I go out there and sit under it. But it is. It's public. It's a public Wi-Fi, basically. Okay. Bob, let's see. Scott made the motion. Bob seconded. Any other questions for Jolene? Okay. All right. Let's call a roll on that one.
Janet?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Roy?
Yes.
Okay, now we're down to item, so that was approved. We're down to item D, which is another public hearing, and the time is 3:35. I'll open the public hearing for the purposes of citizens giving support, opposition, or neutral comments regarding a conditional use permit, basically the same type of thing, 120-foot monopole for high-speed internet at 1681 Hamlin Avenue in Dakota City, or Dakota City. Section 10, Township 28N, Range 8E in Dakota County, Nebraska. Anything specific on this one that's different
just
from the...
same thing.
Okay.
Just different location.
Jolene offer information is the same. Anybody here to offer support? Any opposition for that poll? Anybody neutral about that high-speed internet?
So the net link came and offered to do this.
To the landowners. That's my understanding. Let me see. The government gives them a census block for every county in several states that have to fulfill a certain percentage of census blocks that have poor, the government deems to have poor coverage. So then they go out and seek these mm-hmm. sites.
Do we have a map of the coverage in the county or not?
No.
Coverage, no.
I don't.
This works well. I mean, it's good. I'm glad they're doing it because, one of the ARPA fund functions was broadband.
Right.
In all the rural county. I mean, that's really seems to be a no. Mm-hmm. The more that, assuming that these guys are doing it, they're paying for it.
Right, and like I said, they, with that grant to the government, always they said it would just be impossible to do because they couldn't, you're out in a rural area, you only might be able to get a couple people on that mm-hmm. one tower. So. Mm-hmm.
So this is basically placing two towers in Dakota County that's going to help citizens attain mm-hmm. coverage, students right. out in rural areas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How much was the grant?
He didn't say. But the landowner that it's on gets the free service for the life of that contract. So then there's one person they're not getting money from.
Right.
So, it kind of limits the area. So they're trying to pick areas, they said, about every 4 to 6 miles. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised to see some more of these wanting to come up in the county.
Mm-hmm. Where is Hamlin Avenue?
Hamlin is it's out by the farms, the farmsteads.
It's out by the old Bearman side.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
And the conditional use, are we talking permanent conditional use or what are we talking timeframe?
Yet the zoning board did not put anything on there to be renewed yearly or anything like that. It's a permanent conditional use.
So if NNTC wanted to buy space on that tower then, or whoever, to you could purchase it? Is that how that would work?
I'm not quite sure how their agreements would be set up in that.
Is that your question, how you get access to it?
Conditional use, if that meant they're setting that up there until something else is being built, or if it's a conditional use because it's not been normal use for that?
It's conditional use because it's not...
Doesn't fit with the zoning of that area.
Correct.
Oh. Okay. Conditional use permit, but it will have high-speed internet. It's not conditional upon something. Okay, any other comments for the public hearing on questions or comments regarding that poll? Okay, we'll close that hearing at 3:39. And then item D Board to approve or not approve the request for a conditional use permit to build a 120-foot monopole for the purposes of providing high-speed internet at the property 1681 Hamlin Avenue in Dakota City. Section 10, Township 21N, Range E, Dakota City. The Planning and Zoning has reviewed this and recommended approval of the request.
Again, I'll make a motion to approve with the... obviously, with planning and zoning has recommended the approval of this request.
Thank you, Scott. Motion by Scott.
I'll second.
Troy, second. Any other questions from commissioners? Otherwise, we'll take a vote on that.
Scott?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes. And we have one more public hearing. For the purposes of students or citizens, the opportunity to offer support, opposition, or make neutral comments regarding amending the tower and wrecker zoning regulations, LA and LB, to reference the Board of Adjustments instead of the Board of Commissioners. And it's three. Is there somebody here to talk? Oh, Jolene. Jolene, give us a lowdown.
Basically, we're just trying to clean up the regulations here, and per Kim's recommendation, we had an issue come up earlier this summer where it was Board of Commissioners, where it should have been Board of Adjustments, to hear an appeal on a conditional use permit. So we went ahead and did the appeal through the Board of Adjustments because that would have followed the rest of the regulations, and now we're just cleaning up the wording on it.
I guess I'm trying to, in my own mind, figure out how this, normally the planning and zoning makes the decision first, and
right.
then if the person disagrees, then they go to
the Board of Adjustments.
And then if they want to appeal that, then they come to the commissioners.
Then it goes to district court.
Mm-hmm. It bypasses us.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But it used to go to us before?
It never was supposed to.
Yeah, right.
if the Planning and Zoning Board approved and recommended that the Board of Commission or approved the conditional use permit, then it went on to the Board of Commissioners to have the final say on it. But since the Planning and Zoning Board denied it, then their appeal went to the Board of Adjustments instead of you guys.
And the Board of Adjustments is the Planning and Zoning members?
No, there are five members throughout the county. It's a separate board from the Planning and Zoning.
What do they meet, like once or twice a year?
Typically, some years we meet a little more, some years we don't.
Yeah. I remember this conversation somewhere along the line before, and I didn't even realize that there was such of a board, but then it makes sense mm-hmm. to have that board and the people that are on it.
And they're different from the...
Yeah.
The only person on the Board of Adjustment that is Dick McCabe. He's the secretary for the Planning and Zoning Board, so mm-hmm. he has to be the secretary for the Board of Adjustment.
And we do have full boards for both, Planning mm-hmm. and Zoning and...
Yep.
Okay. I got a public comment on that. So should I open the public hearing? Do we have, is that in?
You did.
Okay.
Yep.
I just don't remember. Yep. Okay. Lou.
I just have a question.
Lou.
Yeah. Lou Franco. 619 Old Highway 20 West.
Okay.
So why did the planning and zoning disagree with whatever? What was the issue?
I'm not sure.
The gentleman, I'm trying to make sure I have the right place. He started a towing service, and he didn't have permission to start it to begin with.
So who was that?
A gentleman down by Homer.
Who is that?
I don't have his name on the top of my mind here. Because there was a couple people right down there in that area that had the same issue. I would have to go back and look. I can't come up with a name off the top of my
was
head.
Was it Campos or Alvarez?
Yes.
Campos. Okay.
Then there was a whole bunch of neighbors that were against it. And since he started it without permission, he was in a whole bunch of violations of our towing record or towing regulations anyway. The board told him he couldn't do it anymore.
Okay, so everybody else that is going to do the towing and the record service, they all have their permits and everybody's...
Mm-hmm. Everybody who... There's only one other person in rural Dakota County who has a conditional use permit to do the towing and rental service.
Oh, who's that?
Curtis Arndt.
Okay.
So is there a limit? I mean, as long as they comply with all the rules.
They have to follow all the regulations and comply.
And post their permit. And
yeah, and Curtis Arndt, he renews his every year, so uh-huh. Joe goes out and makes sure he's following everything. Right now, I'm not sure he's doing the work.
But he's still keeping up with all the regulations in case he wants to get back into it. Security fences, trees, all mm-hmm. of that stuff to kind of obscure the area from the public going by. And there's a whole bunch of regulations. And if he isn't following them, then the conditional use is revoked.
Okay, so if it first goes to the planning and zoning,
mm-hmm.
and then if they deny someone to be able to do this, and then it's supposed to go to the...
If they appeal board. It.
If this camp guy appeals it.
Then it goes to the Board of Adjustment.
Okay, so why does the board have to approve it if they're not involved
because
in that?
Because we're changing the regulations for the planning and zoning, so the board approves all changes in the regulations.
Oh, so it's changing the regulations in it.
Right, yeah. Okay, everything gotcha. Else goes through Board of Adjustment, and for some reason this one had Board of Commissioners. It was the appeal process is usually to the Board of Adjustment.
And then to the court.
Yeah.
And it bypasses.
It's just changing commissioner in the wording
in the laws.
To adjustment.
In the
to
adjustment. Gotcha. Adjustment.
So it's so okay. the so the appeal process is consistent between
right.
for
okay.
And it, I would thank you,
thank
Lou.
You.
I'm assuming that we have somebody that's licensed right now. So I mean our county does have more than one choice, or is it just one choice for towing?
But, in rural DeKalb County. Now oh. South Sioux has their
okay. So there's plenty of choices
yeah.
right
uh-huh.
now, with or without. Okay. Thank you for the clarification. Any other questions from the public or commissioners? I think the public hearing is open, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah,
offers of support, opposition, or neutral for amending the tower and record zoning regulations to reference the Board of Adjustment instead of a Board of Commissioners. Any other questions, comments? I'll close that hearing at 3:47. Then we'll move on to G. Board to approve or not approve amending the towing and record zoning regulations LA and LB to reference Board of Adjustment instead of Board of Commissioners. And Planning and Zoning has reviewed this and recommended approval of the amendment.
I'll move to approve.
Okay, Bob made a motion to approve the change in regulations. I can second that. And any other questions or comments? Kim, anything else that you might want to clarify on that?
Nope.
That's just a cleanup?
It was just
kind of a cleanup thing?
Yep. It created a little bit of a conflict. So
there's still various levels that somebody could,
yes.
if they're concerned. Okay, perfect.
It just shouldn't come here. It should go to the Board of Adjustment like everything else.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. All right. Roll call on that.
Robert?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Okay. Miscellaneous and old business. We're going to try to whip through this. Christy, I think we'll be done before. Jolene, you're up again. Highway Superintendent report. And I think that was in our packet here, if I recall.
Okay. So the guys had 334 hours of maintaining. 1 hour of overtime due to a tree falling down. 6 hours of tree and debris removal. They spent 32.5 hours on a culvert out on 260th Street, 3 hours picking up garbage, 12 hours hauling gravel, 152.85 tons of aggregate was hauled. They spent 50 hours on signing, and we had a gravel request on Oakdale.
Okay. Are all our bridges done?
Getting there. The Pope Bridge, that's the one on T Avenue on the county line. I reached out to the engineer on that, and he said the final plans are with NDOT, and we are waiting for the Federal Highway Administration to approve the environmental on that. So once the environmental review is done, the NDOT will set it out for bid. The M Avenue Bridge. I reached out to the engineer on that. We were going to open bids at the next meeting, but the engineer looked into it and saw it was part of a county bridge match. So we are going to apply for that. We cannot apply for a county bridge match if we have let the bridge. So that we'll know by the beginning of January on the M Avenue Bridge and the I Adams Bridge. And I put as the I Adams Bridge is priority number one, the M Avenue Bridge is priority number two, simply because we can get more money for the I Adams Bridge than the embankment on M Avenue. If we do not get the grant for M Avenue or the bridge match for M Avenue, the engineer has everything ready to put it in the paper right away and set it out for bid. The other bridges are all open.
All right.
Good. That's good to hear. I gotta drive out and check out.
Thanks, Jolene.
High bridge. Thank you, Jolene. Things are going good. All right, so that's the road report. Let's see. Sheriff Kleinberg isn't here for the jail report, so is Teresa here?
No.
For the health?
We do have to take action.
Okay. Item D, let's jump down to D. Let's see, the board needs to approve Dakota County Health Department board membership, and there's a reappointment for 3-year term for Dr. Matt Aiken and Doug Jansen. And we need to make an appointment for one new member to a 3-year term. We have two applicants, apparently, Benita Yakovich and Heidi Olegmiller, for that position that's open right now. And then we will have a valid
either
board.
One would be, I think either one would be great. If I recall, one of our last meetings, they were talking about Benita retired, whatever, wanting to be involved. So I would make a motion to approve the following and reappoint 3-year with Dr. Matt Aiken and Doug Jansen, and then as one new member for a 3-year term, have Benita Yakovich.
Do we know the background in either one of these parties? I'm just curious. I don't know. Do you know what?
They're just
health background.
They're just local citizens that want to be involved.
Okay.
And nothing against Heidi. I just think that I remember the Benita name sticking out to me, and that's the reason why.
Okay.
I can second that too.
Okay. All right. So we have a motion and a second to nominate Benita Yakovich. And she's recently retired, so she'll be available to help to go to the committee meetings. That's good to hear. And Benita or Heidi here, either way? Nope. Okay. Motion and second. Any other questions? Otherwise, we'll do roll call on that.
Troy?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Okay. So they've got a full board now, so we can move forward. Excellent. Do we need to read this sheriff's report, or can we just look at it?
I think we're all confident enough to look at it.
Yeah, I think we've seen this often enough that we kind of know what it looks like. So we'll skip that, we won't skip it, but basically we've reviewed it and know what the contents are. Is that all right, Joe? Or do we need to read it? Okay. And Teresa Grove isn't here today to give her quarterly report, but she will be able
to. They didn't have a quorum at their last meeting, so there was no meeting.
Yeah, it was like hell. I think it was a week ago Wednesday. It was a week ago from Wednesday. There wasn't a quorum.
We'll
be looking for a new agenda and a time from them. So.
And she'll probably come after that meeting to do their quarterly report. And that sounds great. Okay, item number F on the miscellaneous and old business is approval of chair to appoint Jeannie Hohenstein to the ARPA committee to help represent the Village of Jackson. I know I wasn't here at the last meeting. I had gone to the town board meeting in Jackson like late September or whatever and mentioned that we needed a representative, and then I was kind of gone for a couple weeks in October, personal situation, and I failed to follow up with them. But anyway, I think Tim Decker actually volunteered from the audience because we didn't have a Jackson, but the town did contact Joan and myself and have Jeannie Hohenstein interested. She's been working on lots of projects.
Yeah, Jeannie's into a lot of things up there, so I'll make a motion to for the approval for the chair to appoint Jeannie Hohenstein for the ARPA committee to help represent the village of Jackson, Nebraska.
I will second that. And, I mean, Tim, it's good that he's on there, too. He lives out in the country. He's on planning and zoning, so that's a nice addition, if he wants to be on it. I mean, we still think he's, that'd be great.
Once or force, whatever.
Before we vote, I'm going to just enter for the record. Our first meeting will be December 2nd, Thursday at 5:30 here in
the boardroom. What day of the week is that?
It's a Thursday.
Thursday, December 2nd. So we can notify those folks and get them acclimated to the process. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. All right, so we have a motion. And a second, I think,
yes.
On that one? Okay.
Janet?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
I notice on this piece of paper it has my name instead of hers.
Start.
You had Janet there, but it's actually Jeannie.
Jeannie?
Yeah, Jeannie Hohenstein. Yeah, Jeannie.
Okay, thank you.
All right. So that is all of our miscellaneous business. Do we have item number 5, any commissioner committee reports? Meetings may be attended.
The only thing that I have to talk about right now is our last LEC board meeting that we approved for them to do some updating with carpet and painting and et cetera. And I stopped in the other day, and they have started a lot of the carpeting, so looks great.
Where's that at?
At the LEC.
Oh, okay. Oh, cool. Yeah, I've been there for a while. Let's check it out.
So yeah, it was carpet that was much, much needed.
Okay.
So, but anyways, yeah. So I was up there, and they are on the move of getting things done. So yeah.
Okay. Perfect. That should be nice. We should take a tour of that sometime. You know what?
Yeah.
That's where the new 911 center is as well. Perfect. Any other commissioner reports? I am going to the health or the Region 4 mental health meeting on Wednesday, and I know one of the things that's on the agenda is the opioid settlement, and I'm not really sure what they're going to talk about. I think they might want to talk about using that allocation to pay part of our bill each year.
What kind of bill is that?
We get billed from the Region 4 for our county.
Yep.
It's
yep.
like 20 counties.
Yep.
And I think that's going to be part of the discussion, but I don't know for sure, so I thought I'd just bring that up.
I can't remember how much money that was, Joan, but they charge us every quarter. It's like
40.
It's 40-some thousand.
A year?
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking. It was 15 or some thousand.
And the opioid money is about
18 to 20, but it's like the first 4 years, it's like $2,000.
It's over 18 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then it goes down to $500.
It's like $2,000 a year, $3,000 a year, or something.
Yeah.
Like that.
It goes down very quickly. But yeah. So I'll see what they have to say about that and see what they're wanting to talk about. But yeah, I think our Heartland Counseling.
Oh, yes.
Heartland Counseling gets a lot of that
money.
One other
thing. Thank you, Bob. I forgot about that. I called
Terry Schumacher.
Terry Schumacher from the NR...
The Extension Office.
NRD, yes. Uh-huh. And we did discuss a price today, back and forth, negotiate a little bit, and he did remind me, and Joni even reminded me, that I don't recall, but it was $1,000 at one time a month, and then they knocked it down to $600.
Thank you.
Okay. And then,
sound like you got that done.
And then so he says, hey, look, you know, we want a good partnership. He said, if you don't hear back from me, but this is what we would like. And so we settled on $750 is what we settled on a month. He says, you know, everything's gone up. It's been, you know, the contract was up in, I think it was June, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So we're riding on a 3.5-year contract at $600. So they want an extra $150 because of expenses. I get it. So if we can get that building for $750 a month for the extension office, I think it'll be good.
Do we need to put that on the agenda for next month, probably?
Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds like a...
He said he was going to talk to is it John Wink?
John Winkler.
Yeah, John Winkler, he said. But he said, I'm sure it's going to be fine. He said, we're not trying to get rich off the county. He said, we just need to cover some expenses. So, yeah. So I did talk to him. Yeah, thanks for reminding me.
That's where the 4-H program runs out of, I think. Yeah. Okay.
So hopefully the board's okay with that. No, obviously we'll vote on it next meeting. So, anyways.
Thanks for talking to him.
Huge increase. Yeah, I like him. I've known him a long time. He's a good guy.
Okay. All right. How about any mail or emergency business?
Hope not.
No? All right. Well, I'm going to adjourn the Board of Commissioners meeting and give this to Troy, and he's going to open the Board of Equalization. We have a few items on there. Thank you.
Called the meeting to order. Pledge of Allegiance. Roll call.
Troy?
Yes, here.
Janet?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Robert?
Here.
Larry is absent.
Do we need to do an excuse again? Or yeah, I'll make a motion to excuse Larry.
I'll second.
Out today.
Janet?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes. Current copy of the Open Meetings Act is posted in the west wall near the entrance to the Dakota County Board Meeting Room. Is available for you by all citizens in attendance. Dakota County Board Equalization reserves the right to adjust the order of the items and agenda if necessary. Number one is a consent agenda. A, approval of the previous minutes, October 4th, 2021.
So moved.
I'll second that. Oh.
Scott?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Move on to two, new business. A hearing for Heartland Counseling Services Incorporated application for exemption from motor vehicle taxes by qualifying nonprofit organization for 2005 Ford Taurus. HCS vehicles are used to approve community support services, crisis response, peer support services to clients who have mental health or substance abuse issues. The application comes with recommendation of approval by Don Buscay, treasurer.
Just as formality, correct, Don?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So moved on
A.
On A.
I'll second.
Robert?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes. I feel like I'm nonprofit. Maybe I should try to make a decision.
There you go. Board to consider the recommendation of the county treasurer, any other information it may obtain, and shall approve, deny the exemption on the basis of the law and rules, regulations adopted, promulgated by the tax commissioner 77-2021. And then we, Christy Apps, assessor, requesting approval of tax list corrections.
Hi, Christy.
Hi. I have three. They're all homestead exemption. The state must have been auditing accounts. They're from 2019. Excuse me, Roxy and Jerome Jacobson's changed from 100% to zero. Sandra Thomason, hers went from 70% down to 60%. And Sherry Reifenrath went from 20%, she got 100%. So they must still be auditing. These are all from 2019.
These are like homestead exemptions?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Takes that long to get them squared
away.
Oh, right?
Yeah.
Huh.
People die before they ever get their
check. Sometimes I do. It's sad.
So we send them a check then for that?
No, most of them owe us money.
Oh, okay. So it just reduces their.
I think one of them, they got a refund, but.
Is it once they file, they don't pay anymore until they figure this out? Is that correct?
They do whatever they're supposed to, and then if they get a refund or whatever, then they get money back.
Okay, yeah. I understand.
And then they have, I think. Is it 30 days to pay it once they get a bill from us? Let's say, like, Jerome and Roxy, they'll get 30 days to pay it with no interest.
Okay.
Okay.
Motion?
Do we need for each one, probably, or do we do them in a block, or?
Do them all together.
All together? I'll make a motion to approve the tax list corrections related to homestead exemptions. And these rulings came from where? Christy, the
Department
state,
of Revenue.
Oh, Department of Revenue. So they've been verified by the Department of Revenue for parcel 22002291, parcel 22003560, and parcel 22002479.
I'll second it. You made a motion, correct, Janet?
I think I did, yep. Yep. To accept those corrections.
Troy?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Okay, three, mail and or emergency businesses. Is there any? Okay, none. We'll move on to four. Is there any public comments? No public comment. Five is adjournment.
Same.
How come the public comment comes at the end on this one? It's weird.
It's different, isn't it?
It says we never changed it.
Oh.
Yeah.
You can move stuff around if you wanted, but
maybe we should put the public comment on the end of the
other
one.
I don't think there's really a lot of people here for public comment.
Sometimes people were waiting and waiting, you know, and heard things, and so.
I don't want to read that meme, but I mean, just kind of like that thinking, you know. I want to hear what people have to say, absolutely.
December 2nd.
But sometimes it's like.
Just run out of juice.
That's what I'm trying.